Have your Bible, we turn to Romans chapter 8, and let's pray. Father, we come again for this time of study, Lord, and we give our time for that purpose, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And our Father, it's not that we just come and open the Bible and start teaching. Many hours put into these things, and ask you to give us the direction, the subject, and everything we come to teach about, study many times over and go over and over and over in our mind. And yet even then, due to the frailty of the mind, we can never get everything maybe just like we'd like to have it. We'd like to have it like you'd like to have it. And yet, we know there's a lot of things that hinders, not only from studying, but also when we study, from proclaiming the Word of God, because Satan is trying his way to catch away everything that's possible. He can catch away a little something, miss something else, and next thing you know, we may hear not what we need to hear that could help us the most. So keep our mind concentrated now the next few weeks as we finish this chapter, because we get in some deep subject, Lord, that needs to be looked at to help your children until we get home the other side. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, before we get into the subject tonight, I want to go back, and I'm glad you understand. I think you understand, yet those who have been with us faithfully, I think you understand that when Paul cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He was showing a side that he could never have victory, it seemed like, in life, because that flesh was always there. And for him to say that, and for God to document it in his scriptures, and to know that he said that not before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, but after he met him, knowing that he said that after God had taught him 3.5 years over there in Asia Minor, and yet still he felt this old flesh being there and tried to understand what that is a very important thing in life. And yet we know in chapter 8, we see he's telling us there is no condemnation to those that are walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. We know that he tells us we have a new mind. We know we have a new nature. We know we have a new identity. And we're called in that now, not just when we get to heaven, children of God. We have an inheritance, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, we finished that recently. And because of that, we know that we are, and God in 1 John teaches us that we can know that we are now children of God if we understand the scriptures. Without the scriptures, we don't know anything. And people who go around thinking themselves just because God don't accept something is going to come up and find up short, because God only accepts what he gives us to accept, and that's in his word. Now, we might get it wrong. If we are, we'll give account of that one day. But I believe if we're honest with the Lord, and we'll see that tonight. And what I'm talking about right this moment is that this, we're fixing to get into some deep subject, some of the most difficult subjects to be taught, and so many different denominations and relations who goes from one stream to another. And when you get here, you have to have your scriptures together, and you don't do this by just teaching the first time you get saved. It's like somebody saying, "Well, I've got to say, what's the best book I can study?" Someone said, "Well, don't you study the book of Revelation?" Well, you might as well forget that if you just get saved. But I know Gospel of John is a good book to study, because it tells us about who Jesus Christ is. So what I found this out years ago, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand God leading the path, but nobody ever really believes, but I know and I see more now in 57 years, God led me a different way than usual. Because I could have stayed where I was at, in the organization I was in, and no doubt pastored a large church somewhere. And no doubt in my mind about that, and what I'm hearing nowadays is what's needed. But God wouldn't let me go that way. And I can remember things now that go back. And right now, we're going to get in some deep subjects. We get chapter 8, verse 18, down a few subjects. This is not milk of God's word. We're fixing to get in not milk of God's word. We're fixing to get in meat of God's word. Because if not, you'll choke on it. If you look in Hebrews chapter 5, in the book of Hebrews, over to chapter 5 in the book of Hebrews, and the writer of the book of Hebrews made this statement, which got my attention many years ago when I started studying the scriptures, and we've seen it before and you've read it before, but I want us to read it again tonight before we get into the subject. If you look in chapter 5 in verse 11, the Apostle Paul has been talking about the great high priest and referring to Melchizedek as a priest, and in turn that Christ was after the order of Melchizedek. He's gone through all of that and talked about Aaron in the chapter and these eras as he's presenting Jesus Christ as who he is. As a priest. And then verse 11 of chapter 5 down through chapter 6 verse 12, he throws in a parenthetical phrase, and he talks about, as Scofield puts forth appeal and warnings about we have to be very careful about what we believe. What God wants us to believe is very precious, but he wants us to believe truth. And truth is so strong sometimes, we're not careful, it's very easy not to get it all the way, because Satan's always fighting it every angle we go at to throw some error in with truth. And when you mix error with truth, you don't have complete truth. You may have partially truth, but how do you know the difference? And so there comes a time, I think, that everybody needs to say something like I said years ago, because when I look at, let's look at this first. He said, verse 11, he said, be uttered, sin you're dull of hearing. There are certain things, because of where a person is at spiritually and religiously, that they don't want to hear if it goes against the grain of what one may have to believe. And you see that all the time. Where you work at, where you go, the people you talk to, you find you mention something about the scriptures, and all of a sudden, if they don't, it's like, great, well, I don't agree with that. And sometimes you try to explain more, and they won't listen to that, and you want them to explain, and they can't even explain why they believe what they believe. So we end up with a mismatch a lot of times in what we study from how we study. But he says here that, he said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, sin ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Notice that. In other words, the first thing a person needs when they get saved to be taught. Isn't that part of the Great Commission? Go in the world, preach the gospel, baptize in what? Teach, he says, that which I've taught you, talk to the disciples. They're to be taught. So the cycle is not just to win people, not just to baptize people, but to give them a diet of God's word from the basic of milk until they can develop and grow in grace and knowledge and go even stronger than that. And when you begin to give the word of God, that begins to choke someone because they're not able to take the milk, you know, the back off again and start feeding the milk a little bit more. The milk is the basics of the principle of God's word. And that's what he's setting forth here. And he said, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, it's a natural thing for a babe to be used milk to start with. You don't go feeding a baby just born strong meat. If you give them any kind of meat after three or four or five months old, you have to grind it up real good. And aren't you glad you don't live in those countries where they don't have grinders and the mother has to put it in her mouth and chew it up and give it to the baby? But we have grinders, so we know that. Then we come back to this, that if a person, that baby can't take meat, you say, we need to start feeding him something a little more heavier. If he can't take that, you still go back to the milk. Why? You want to be sure you give it what is needed it can use until it can take the food that's better. By the way, you can't live on milk all the time, the rest of your life. Right. You know that? I was talking back in the hospital one day with a person. He was talking about they give fluids to people. And they said this fluids will really help them. And then they came in one day, and I heard the person say, we're going to have to take the fluid away now because we got to move something else. And I said, well, if it's working, why not go ahead and give it to them? And you know what they said? They said, but you don't understand. You can't live off of this fluid all the time. It's not enough to help you all the time. It may help you when you're weak, but it comes a time you need to get not man-made fuel by liquids that we give you, but you need to get food for the body, because that's what really helps the body get strong and be healthy. It may help one when you're weak to get to a point, but when you get to a point, then you need to get off of that particular intravenous stuff and go to regular food. And that's what we're talking about here. The milk of God's word is the simple principle things about God. Being saved, how you're saved, knowing you're saved, and understand what salvation is, and go from there about how we began to serve the Lord early in our Christian life. And then he said this, but for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, to keep in mind, that helps me see there. If I stayed on the milk of God's word the rest of my Christian life after 57 years, then I find this verse would be telling me there's no way in the world I could be skillful with God's word. Not that I am, but I'm saying according to the scripture, I never would be skillful with God's word staying on the milk of God's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's very plain for here. Sometimes you have to stop and think and read, and God gives us information more than just words. He lets us see the value of those words. Then he said, but for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, it amazes me, he didn't say the word of God. He said the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness means what God has done for us. You see, we could not establish our own righteousness. God had to establish our righteousness for us. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I don't ever understand how God has established my righteousness for me, I'll be confused till I die. If I don't understand God established my righteousness for me through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to think I had something to do with my righteousness, because that's the way the flesh works. I've got to have the information to know that I had nothing to do about my righteousness. God did it all for me in His Son. Everything I have is in Jesus Christ. I'm complete. All's in Him. And I had to come through the door. And of course, we looked at that the other night. Won't get into that this time. So here he's talking about the righteous, for he is obeyed. If I am on the milk of the Word and cannot establish with the meat of the Word, understand beyond just the fact that God has saved me and imputed to me and give me His righteousness, which is setting forth His life, then I'll never understand what's happened when it comes to me to work God's Word. He said, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those who are, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said, strong meat is for a person of full age. Now, how do you know you come to a full age? I don't think you ever know that. But there comes a time of studying and being able to put things together. Sometimes, most of the time, we'll study in sections. You may take a book and go through and study, but still a section. A book in God's Word is a section of God's history. So once you happen, you have these titles and these subjects you studied in sections. And when you're studying in sections, a lot of times the continuity tied together, we don't see it at that time. And that's the reason I think God showed me many years ago, when I studied something, keep it. Put it down. If it's worth my time to spend hours of study, it's most worth my time to get it documented so I can have it for later. And that's one of the things I've seen to do that. God helped me now. Helps me now to see, if I studied that before, let me go back. My wife keeps a record of all the messages I preach where I can go. Any subject I preached on a number of years now, she has a record of that. We know where those tapes are at. I know every record I've got in books that I have. I know those records. I can go find subjects I talked on. In the bundle of those books, I have a table of contents, kind of. It's not a table, but it's like a table of contents. So I can go and start looking down the table of contents. Start looking down the table of contents and find something about that. Then I can pull that out and begin to add it to where I'm studying now. And so what God has let me see, thank God He helped me see that years ago. No one ever told me to do that, just something I did. And thank God He helps me see now that all of those little things through the years that I've studied and got filed away, and they just look like a mixed up bunch of mess, because they don't, at the time you may be studying, you know, about the Old Testament principle, maybe studying the Levitical system, maybe studying about when Jesus comes, maybe studying about heaven, might be on Revelation. And you know, when you're over here in Leviticus, studying the Levitical system, and then all of a sudden you go to Revelation, that's a big jump. So what do? You try your best to keep the record here and keep the record here, and I found out somewhere down the road, God's going to help me tie them together. Well, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He wants us to see it systematically. Nothing ever works right unless we see it systematically. Anything out of order will never work right for us. And so then I began to be, when I first got saved. And I'm like everybody else. And I told this story before and tell it again because it fits where we're going in now. We fix to get in some deep subject here. If we don't listen carefully, become dull of hearing, you'll never get it. And most time, people don't get it. Then they go off on a tangent somewhere or another, believing something that's not even as far as the Scripture is concerned. But I remember, I used to, when I got saved, in my church, I had a home church at the time, we had a kind of division in doctrine. On the left side, you had people who were Arminians, all the way, I mean, to the extreme. On the right side, you had some people who were Calvinists. And here I was, a young born again child of God. I had friends on both sides. And I'd go with my friends on Arminian, and they'd study the Scriptures, and it seemed like they studied just something. And all of a sudden, they'd be telling me about, you know, boy, you have to receive Christ as your Savior, and there's all these things you've got to do, and so forth. And when you get saved, and boy, this thing you've got to do, if you are saved, you don't, you'll lose your salvation. And I was over here in this thing, and I'd get, man, alive. I'd go to church, and I'd start looking past, and say, wait a minute. If that's true, then a lot of these folks in here are not saved. Because I'm measuring the wrong way. And then I'd be invited on the other side, and these would come back, the 5 point, or the Calvinists, and they say, well, Brother Hinks, let me tell you, you trust the Lord, but you know something? God already knew you before you was ever born. I said, well, I know that. By the way, God also called you before you was ever born. Well, I know that. God also picked you before you was ever born. What do you mean by that? I mean, God looked down to age and said, I want Charlie Innes. That's what 5 point Calvinist is. I said, you mean tell me I didn't have a choice? By rights, you understand it. God saw your foundation of the world, so He picked you. You mean I didn't have a choice? And I could never answer that. Because if you believe God picked you for the foundation, he knew who you were, and because he picked you for what he knew. And there I was. I said, wait a minute. If I didn't have a choice, why did I walk the aisle that day? I mean, why did I just escort the court in my heart? If I didn't have a choice, and they tried to explain why that. And here I was this way, and I said, well, you know, this sounds like more than what they believed. And the next thing, I'd have them call. I don't know if they bounced me back and forth or what. But they'd have me back over to have lunch or something and get down with them. But we'd enjoy talking about the Bible, just love it so much. And they'd come back again and say, well, let me show you. And I'd tell them what I heard. So let me show you, though, why is it? Because you know good and well, if God saves your soul, and he does save you, you trust Christ as Savior. But then if you don't live a life like he says, you know God's not going to let you go to heaven because you're living a life that's of a Christian. And therefore, you'd have to trust him again. Well, that sounds right, doesn't it? I mean, if I got saved and I lived a life that maybe didn't please God, then why would he let me go to heaven even though I said I'm saved? I'm not saved because I say I'm saved. I'm saved because God lets me know I'm saved. Amen. You see? Everybody can say I'm saved and not be saved. Especially, I get a lot of that now knocking on doors. And you talk to them, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm already saved. And you know, then, well, you could really, by ask four or five questions, and finally find out if they're saved, they sure don't know it. People say, well, that's judging. No, folks, that's the thing that God gives you, a heart for people, that you love people so much that you want to try your best to let the Scriptures talk more so to them. Then I'd go back to these again. And this is the way it was as a boy in Christ. And I just, when I go to Scripture and I say, you know, Lord, really, it looks, seem like some of, both of them are right in some degrees and so forth. And I won't never forget, it's been years ago after I was saved, probably 50, at least 56 years ago. I remember one time coming out and getting in my car and started driving. I was driving out on a driveway, and I just stopped right in the middle. I just said, God, I was crying. I said, God, I don't know what's right. I don't know who's right. I believe both of these are good friends. I believe both of these are sincere. But this crowd and this crowd, this person, these people that say this and these people that say this are not bad people. Both of them love God the way they talk. But I don't understand this because there's no way that I can straddle this. Both seem to be right. By the way, if you listen with open ears and heart, it does sound like they're right. Because they've studied their section hard to stand what they believe on. And these have studied their sections hard. And if this denomination believes that, they are taught not only from the individual, but from the top down. And I took my Bible and I said, God, I don't know about this book like I like to. And I meant it when I said it. God put me through every test. Now open this book again. I don't care who's right. And I held my hand, God, I don't care who's right, but I want to know what's right. And I promise you, Lord, my heart, that I'll study this book if you'll help me. You said you'd give me the Holy Spirit of God. I'll study this book if you'll help me understand what is right. And when I post that, that's my life down through the years. Have I been off some? Yes, but I'll tell you this, when doctrine, because I didn't have all the information I needed, if I was off somewhere or another and saw that, then I quickly corrected that. And down through the years, I've found that the overall growth of a child of God can be so great if you want to know what's right and don't care who's right. I really don't care who's right. One thing I know sure, God is right. I know that. And so when I approach these verses, I approach this the same way. You see, you cannot be saved without grace. You cannot be saved without mercy. And you and I have not grace or mercy to give to one to be saved. So when Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, then it is God who has the grace and the mercy. And he extends to us. Now here's the thing, when I came along 2,000 years after Christ, and it came a time I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I found out you cannot be saved without choice. I don't care what these say. You cannot be saved without choice. You don't find nowhere in this scripture that a person is saved without a choice. That is, they listen to the facts, and they believe the facts that God gives of his word, and turn and say, I either accept that or reject. And you heard me say, that's not a word. That's acknowledgement. And I proved that the other night with the drawing I had. And so I ask this every time. When I get someone who's moving toward the five-point Calvinist or to Calvinism, and because they're looking at these scriptures, and we're going to hit this. By the way, they're not all that wrong, but they are wrong. These are not all that wrong. But if this is true, this is not true. If this is true, this is not true. And yet this Bible teaches both. So how do you reconcile that? It's the same way God uses. He uses us ambassadors, that God is in Christ reconciling this world to himself. The world don't reconcile themselves to God. God is reconciling this world to himself. How? Through Jesus Christ. And that's the answer to the whole thing. And so I know this, that you cannot be saved without choice. And if I know this, as I go through the scriptures and understand, if you are truly born again, and I wrote this down just a few minutes ago in my office, put some thoughts together. If you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit seals us. There is no need to be born spiritually the second time. Now, let me tell you, turn to Ephesians. And then we'll get into this, and you're going to see what I'm talking about in this. This because it's tremendous in Romans. Turn to Ephesians with me, and let's look at chapter 1. You remember what we read a few weeks ago? You might have forgot this. Remember what we read a few weeks ago when it says this? When we get saved, what happens? Well, look in chapter 1, verse 13. He says this. We look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Notice the term trusted in Christ. We know that more as John 1:12 received. It's synonymous. In whom also ye trusted. Watch this. Now, you know they trusted in Christ. In whom also ye trusted. Now, if you trusted, also you trusted. That means you received Jesus Christ. He said, after that, how? 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 If someone just got one day say, you know, there's got to be a God, and I trust him who he is. No, it don't work that way. These scriptures are precise, precept by precept, line by line, verse by verse, word by word. God has built them in such a way to build our hearts up studying this book. And notice, he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Now, let me ask you something. What you little know about Scripture, what is the first word of truth that you hear as an unsaved person? What can it be? What is it that gets us saved? What did Jesus do? Died on Calvary. So 1 Corinthians 15 about the gospel. So what Christ did on Calvary is what we know as the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. Don't it seem sense then, if this is what he's talking about, in whom also after you trusted, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth? Would it not be that you and I who are unsaved, the first word of truth we heard was the gospel, and the gospel takes in everything that God did through Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, everything he did through Jesus Christ to pay the sin debt? Because we have to know someone paid the sin debt. If we cannot pay the sin debt, someone had to pay it for us. Now, would it not be reasonable then, if I cannot pay the sin debt, and you cannot pay the sin debt, so you can't trust me and I can't trust you. But isn't it one thing God has shown us that Jesus Christ has proven not only did he come, not only did he please the Father, not only did he pay the sin debt and went back to the Father and put the blood, but God accepted it. So why look for someone else to pay the sin debt? So I understand this sin debt's paid by him, and the first thing I learn about him is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel is what the Holy Spirit uses to draw us in the hearing of God's word to one who is our Lamb. Notice what he said. Now, folks, I get that right. This is the steps of salvation. I could go other places, need to. A lot of other places backs this up too. But this is enough right now. We don't want to spend all night here. But what I'm saying is, here it is. I come into this world, have no idea about anything. One time somebody comes by me and begins to talk about the gospel. Or maybe somebody invites me to church and I hear the gospel. Maybe somewhere or another that I was at visiting and I heard the gospel. Somewhere or another I started hearing the gospel. And somewhere or another it began to deal. In my case, I heard about it. In 3 years I heard about it off and on in church. Then it came one day, it really opened up my eyes. So the gospel, Holy Spirit used that to draw us to the Lamb of God. And after that, she heard the word of truth, the gospel. What's it? There it is. He gives us the answer to it. You know, what I just get, I gave you the answer for him. But then he tells us, it's the gospel of your salvation. Now, what is the word of truth? What did he save as the word of truth? the gospel of who? Of your salvation. In whom after that ye believe. Now what's the sequence? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that after you believe. Now you can begin to look at the word believe, to receive. These are synonymous of each other, yet I like the word receive, and I'm glad Jesus used that word in John 1:12. To as many as receive him, to them who that receive him, he gives the power to come to sons of God. I'm glad he used that word, because I think sometimes that people use the word believe so easy, they don't get it. If I can just believe it, I can unbelieve it. If you tell me I believe it or not believe it. If I say I believe it, it might be I not believe it later. But if I receive it, that's more than just saying I believe it. Now, they may be synonymous, but I just think that Jesus used the word receive because he realized there were a lot of folks. In fact, in another place he said that a lot of people believed on him, but then all of a sudden he said to them that you have to believe indeed. You have to do more than just make a head knowledge, he's talking about, and God will make you children of God that way. So he says here, he said in the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believe, ye were sealed. With what? With the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, folks, you take that verse and begin to dissect it, and there's some powerful stuff in there. And how to work that with other scripture comes once you study that and keep it. You study that and like it should be, and then you keep it in file somewhere or another and begin to study other things, and after a while, you're tied together. Now, when I look at this, I look at it being on the farm. Why do you seal anything? It keeps it, preserves it, doesn't it? What you do, you remember, imagine how God can let us bring things in. Years ago, we used to preserve pears and things like that. And you know what you do? I always enjoyed that. She'd get them together and tie it down or screw something down, a cap on the top, put it where it's at, and then take it out after, I don't know how long she cooked it, and set it over there on the stove somewhere or another, or on the bench somewhere or another, and that's why you hear something go. Then you hear another. And I said, Mother, what was that? And she said, they're sealing. Now, you don't break that seal. We know that up 3 or 4 years from now, and it'll still be good. Aren't you glad you're raised on a farm? These city folks don't know anything, you know. Everything don't come just for what? Everything don't come for food line, you know that? Amen. You know what it's saying? They're sealed. What? Until it's ready to be used. This is about this. God says he gives us the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what he said now. He said, after that you believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then he tells us why. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, if I've got this over here and studied like I should, then I begin to study somewhere else. Somewhere they tie this together. And that's what I want us to think about for just a few moments, because what happens is this. Now that I began to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, like Peter says to grow, if I've grown 1/4 inch, I got about 100 miles more I need to go, because this book is precious. And you just build upon build, line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept. And then suddenly you begin to say, hey, this thing's more than what I saw. This thing's more than what they saw. This thing is more than what they saw. This thing is a reality of life. And how does it work? Well, I know this. I got a new mind. I got a new nature. I got a new identity. God says I'm a child of God when I have the Spirit of God. Now, that means a whole new thing. The only problem is that I have trouble with is the old man. And I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm going to get on just the new man growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, where God has tells it we're sealed, because the old man is what gives us a problem. You got to keep in mind, Jesus Christ was born in flesh, but he didn't have the old man. But he showed us, as God, how to defeat the old man, because Satan's access to us is through the old man. Satan can't get through us through the new man, but it's through the old man that he gets through us. And he talks about it here. Sometimes we look at the flesh and trying to teach what the flesh is against the spirit, and we think, we get hung up that the flesh is great. Paul talks about this flesh, and not necessarily flesh as we see here, because that's going back to dust, but he talks about the law of God that works itself. He's talking about all that stuff I grew up in before I got saved. All that stuff that I learned. Some things I wish I never learned. I bet you some of you are the same way. Because I find out, it amazes me. I got saved 7 years ago, and every once in a while, Satan will bring something up back before I got saved, as if it happened yesterday. And I got to battle over it again. Because once he brings it back, it'll be, you enjoyed it so good, if he brings it back, he won't bring it back just when you're the strongest. He'll bring it back when you're the weakest, and he'll bring it back in such a way to try to throw us and make us think things maybe that's not so. And then you have to go back to the Word of God and ask God to help us. This new creation and the circumcision of the flesh that takes place for us as spiritual circumcision, cut away that flip. So we don't have to have it dominating us, even though Satan can bring it back up. I don't care what you've done in your life where you got saved. Satan bring it up somewhere or another. We can't put it in, what do you call that file computer? What is it? What do you put empty stuff to? What? Trash, yeah. You can find trash in that, can't you? But you can't put it somewhere and they'll bring it up again. He's always going, as long as we're in this flesh, he'll bring up anything we've ever done in this flesh. Thank God for new man though. Because as this new man grows, listen to me, folks, as this new man grows, that's what God's going to bring up. He's never going to bring up something he's forgiven us for. He's never going to. Why worry about something in the past where we put on the blood and God has said he's forgiven us for it, but you know what will happen? He gives us a new creation, and that's what he works with for us to have dominance. And what happened over here 20 years later, we've been saved one night. We kind of got depressed. Someone said something wrong to us. Something just happened, and he'll bring something up back. Happened 50 years ago, 20 years, depending on how old you are. And it seemed like it was yesterday. And he'll try to make you think, you know what? God ain't forgot that yet. He's always acting accusation to God. He said, I don't believe that. Then you tell me why. That he stands before God and accuses the brother, the Bible says all the time. Isn't that an amazing thing? Folks, let me ask you. I wonder what he accused us of before God this week. They're preaching, not me. You're the very one he probably has. If I said that, I'd be probably the very one he has. Because I'm so sure of something when I say that, I don't know everything that he works at. Folks, let me tell you something. He's a wise, ungodly being. And he's after us. He fought hard to keep us from being saved, but once we broke that and was saved, now he fights hard to keep us from serving God. And if he can, he wants to fight hard to make us think we're not worth anything at all for God. Therefore, we can't be used of God. And so what happened? He couldn't keep us getting saved, but he shuts us down where we're at. Folks, we can believe that or not. But that's what this Bible teaches us, being saved. And that's why this word is so good, by hiding the word of God in his heart. Now, I ain't got the introduction yet. When I get down to verse, let me read 12, 13, we get in verse 14. Oh, go back with me to, I'm in Romans. Go back to chapter 8. Let me just show you quick of this and we'll get into this. Next week, we're not along in this. In Romans chapter 8, what he's fixing to show us now, verse 18 through the end of this chapter. We're not along in this. Boy, I'm glad. This frightens me. Does it you? Look what he said. He said, for ye, look in verse 16. He said, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing about it. If that's so, the Spirit just didn't bear witness to our spirit when we got saved. The Spirit's bearing witness to our spirit every time we, in this book, every time we're studying, every time we have a question, this Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And you know, if that happens, and it must happen, that's what it said, then God's going to remind us if something's not right, it better be gotten right. He reminds us. God does not leave us. Boy, I'm glad he doesn't. God doesn't leave us alone any more than we leave our little baby children alone around something that may harm them. And so he goes on, what? And I love this. He said, in the Spirit said, bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. And watch. And if children, and you ought to know that, I don't know where one is, or you don't know if I am, but I'm telling you that I am. You can tell me that you are, and if we are, then he says this, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Wait a minute. He just blew my bubble. boy, child of God, saved on the way to heaven, crying, Abba, Father, he referred to him as Daddy. But I wouldn't do that because I reverence him more. But he says, that's right, I'm a child, been born into the family of God. Have the Spirit of God. Join heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs of God, because I'm in the family. Why would he put that in there? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. You know what he's telling us? And I have some references here. But what he's telling us, it's the result. He's saying the result of being a child of God brings suffering. Why? Satan has never loved God. Satan has never loved us. And he loves us even less since we're saved. And I don't believe Satan even bothers his own. Sometimes some people do something real bad and say, Satan made me do it. I don't believe Satan even bothers much of his own because he's got them anyhow. You know who he bothers? You and I who are saved. He's always on our trail. Always. He said this, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. He's saying that this world hates me, and if you live for me, you just been in the vicinity is going to bring about an uneasy feeling. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because if you're living for God and I'm living for God, sometimes I don't have to say a thing. You don't have to say a thing. Just be there. Hear somebody use God's name in vain, sometimes I look at it. You could say, I wouldn't do that. Not used to, you could say that, people respect it. Nowadays, they may tell you where to go. But just, walk away. Don't tell me, first thing that does, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. There's a testimony. And if you do that many times, you'll find someone saying later, are you a Christian? You say, I sure am. I knew there's something special about you. You ever had that said? You didn't think nothing special about it at all. But they noticed that. Because they saw the effect of what was happening when something that was unrighteous or evil that was done at that time. So notice he said that we suffer with him. That means that the result of being a child of God is if we do what God asked us to do, we're going to have to suffer. Now, it may not be that we'd like the Middle East be shot. We could be, but it may not be. It might be someone cusses us out. It might be someone asks us to leave like someone did recently visitation. It might be that just the fact that they say hit the road, like someone has done a number of times, that's all right, but that's a suffering for Christ. It's not like Jehovah's Witnesses just go out and intentionally try to insult someone so they can make you say something to you. So, no, you just go out and kind of like leave and just realize, hey, that person has really insulted God now. You're not presenting yourself. You're presenting God. You're presenting the gospel of Christ. You're presenting the greatest thing that money cannot buy, and yet they turned it down. And they did it through you. And because you were there, they took out on you. Have you been cussed out? I have. I'll be honest with you. It just rises up when that happens. But I have to be sure. Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can cuss as good as anybody that cusses. But you know what? We don't. Why? Because it run a testimony. Somebody say, hey, not me. Let somebody hit you with a hammer one time and see what you say. I'm telling you, folks, this flesh will rise up. You know what? You get rage just on the road. Amen. My wife does. And she knows I do. Why is that? Have you ever said, you know what? I don't care what happens. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get upset today. And you get on that road, and it's not long before somebody darts out in front of you and so forth. You know, what in the world is wrong with that guy? I was coming right out here last Thursday, I believe it was, where these trucks were at. I was running just as speed limit, and bless your heart, a big truck, tractor and trailer truck, and I was right there in front of that building, saw me coming, and pulled right out in front of me to go in that staple on the side, and I like to hit him. And I slammed on brakes, blew the horn, beep! And then all of a sudden I said, I shouldn't be blowing it that hard. And that guy said, he was saying, I was sorry. And I said, okay. And I let him go on. I let him go on. But I'm saying, it don't take this, and you'd be happy in the world, and the next few minutes be just as upset. Aren't you glad, though, the Holy Spirit's there, folks? Did you know if it weren't for the Holy Spirit, be a lot worse than we are? We'd be a lot worse than we are. And then this is the reason I like this. I'm going to close. You think I was going to close 15 minutes ago. Look what he says. He says in verse 18, "For I reckon," I love this, after he talked about suffering that we may be also glorified, he said, "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may..." The fact is that we suffer with him. He said, we're going to be glorified one day. We're going to be where there's no suffering. We're going to be rewarded. Watch what he says. Then verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time..." Notice the sufferings in the plural. "At this present time," Paul said, "are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Whatever you go through with, I don't care how bad or how blessed it is, it'll never be compared with the glory that God has prepared for us. That helps me want not to be road rage when I am. And I tie that with it, 1 Corinthians 2:9, when he said, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man all those things that God's prepared for them that love him." You see, ladies and gentlemen, God softens it by letting us know this is not our home. Expect a lot when you're not your home, because we're strangers passing through. Thank God we have a place to call home. Father, Lord, please help us get this together. This is some tough stuff, Lord. We get into it, I want to be sure everybody understands, and approach it such a way to see that, Lord, I'm glad I understand what you saw back before you created man. I'm glad, Lord, that you presented your Son and brought him through all those lambs, types, and sight shadows, and then when he came himself, the very Lamb of God. I'm glad I understand where you set everything about your plan and purpose into him. And I'm glad, Lord, Father, that you, from the beginning with, knew that day that I was going to join a church not saved. You knew that that gospel would do what it's supposed to do, because there came a day that I said, "Lord, you're right and I'm wrong." You knew that I'd see Jesus Christ as the door. You knew that I'd be helpless without him. And when you brought me to that point with the scriptures and the conviction power of God, you knew that with all that information that you give me the ability to analyze and understand and seek it out and prayerfully consider what you said, that I'd use that God-given ability to say, "God, you're right and I'm wrong. And I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And dear Father, the only thing I did is acknowledge that you were the one who started it. You're the one who prepared the way. You're the one that sent your Son. Jesus, as God, came in the flesh. You did it all. We had nothing to do with it. Yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul says in Romans 5. And that day when we were around the whosoever door, the Holy Spirit used that gospel message. And we said, "Lord, yes, I receive you." And when we did, the Holy Spirit came in, representing Jesus Christ, to the place as Jesus himself lives in our heart, and took us through that door. There we're in him, and he's in us. Double portion. And there's a little babe, like a little babe been born in this world. We started out a spiritual babe on the milk of God's word. We'd go hungry to hear it taught, then try our best to try to teach it. Then go back because there's just so much we didn't know. And then, Lord, we came a time of years going by that people began to listen. And then when they began to listen, they began to criticize or make statements. And you had to go back and study more and study more. And our Father, we thank you, though you gave us the Spirit of God to help us. And I'm sure any of us would never have it all right, because to be divine, we'd have to be divine to get it all right. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God to help us get it right to the place that we can be the mouthpiece. We can be the voice as God uses our voice to tell this world about how much he loved them and what he did for them. And we may talk to 1,000 people and not get saved, but it won't be because they could not get saved. They could if they just do like we did. Say, "Lord, you're right, we're wrong, and we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior." we start that as a basis to look at these tremendous truths in the next few verses down, especially when we get over in the latter part of the chapter. Help us understand exactly what you're saying, not be confused about it, not get to the place you'd become arrogant or feel like we are somebody because we're just humble children of God who love our Heavenly Father. And thank you so much for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.